Good morning and welcome to New Life Church. My name is Janessa, if you don't know me, and I am the, oh, there are the lights. I am the intern worship pastor here at New Life. A special welcome to you. Love to see everyone here on a Sunday morning, and those of us who are joining us online, a big welcome to you as well. So a couple of housekeeping items before we start. Children's ministry. We don't have children's ministry during the summer, but we have children's ministry for seedlings, and that's our children ages 0 to 3. And that's been open for a couple of weeks now, so you can bring your children down anytime. And those children in the service, come up here, wave those flags. We want to see you wave as hard as you can. Today's offering is for New Life Ministries. During this sermon series, it's personal. We've got the opportunity to hear from our we've got the opportunity to hear from them, and it's been great. So there are many ways to give on the screen behind me, you can see. And you can come anytime during the worship set, as we feel offering is also a part of worship. You can come bring those in those boxes below. As we begin the service, you can stand. Let me read over you 1 Chronicles 16, 8 to 10. You guys can stand. Yes, yes, you got it. Okay. 1 Chronicles 16, 8, verse 10. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love to give you praise. We love to proclaim your name in all the earth. We pray that this worship this morning is singing your name and proclaiming our love for you and knowing in our hearts that you love us. We praise you. We love you. We thank you for this time of precious, precious worship. May we never grow tired of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the Lord. Thank you. creatures of a God and King. Lift up your voice and with the sing. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Thou burning soul with golden beam. Thou silver moon with soft and gleam. Oh, praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Of our God and King. Oh, praise. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. I gotta come to sing, the city set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? How good is the Lion, the Lion of Judah? He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Never knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Never knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb.
One of my favorites, the chorus goes, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. And let this song just be a reminder for you that he is in control. It's his breath in our lungs, so we praise him with everything that we have, because he is our maker. You.
are the King. You've created all things, and even now you're sustaining your creation. We thank you for the breath that we get to draw in, the air that's here that's yours. The life that we have is yours. And Lord, you've created us to worship. Forgive us for our half-heartedness. Thank you for calling us into your presence. We give our worship to you. Teach us. We submit to you, our King. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be with you here. And hi to my family over there. Patty and I are married 34 years today. So, yeah. And my son and daughter, Matt and Amy, are here with us from Halifax. And we get to enjoy these days with them. And our son, James, is going off to school in Vancouver in just a couple weeks, taking a big step. He's going to barber school. We're excited for him. And so we're grateful. Well, here at New Life, as a church in the summer times, we are looking at and hearing from the testimony of you, the church. And this summer, we've been inviting some of our missionaries to speak about what God is doing in their life. And they give a particular passage. And that passage they choose. And then we as preachers are to preach on that passage. This morning, we have the great honor to hear from John O'Barnhorn. For some of you who have been around for a while here at New Life, maybe you've met John O. and his family. They are biblical translators with an agency called Wycliffe. And they've been in Nigeria for about 15 years now. And their life's work is to translate God's word into a language that the people of Nigeria, where they are, can read the gospel themselves. What an amazing ministry. So we have a video of John O. that we're going to show in just a minute. Let me pray, and then we'll cue up the video, and you get to hear from him and him yourself. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We approach it with humility and openness. Teach us, correct us. Thank you for your work in John O. and his family's life. We thank you that their testimony stands to your greatness. We're thankful for humble and willing servants as them. Continue to bless their family and guide them. Give them all they need. Give them the health and strength they need to be faithful to you. And we're grateful that we get to be supporters, prayers, cheers for them as they translate your word for others. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Good evening, or good morning, I guess, whatever it is at this point. It's evening here. I'm John O. Barnhorn with Wycliffe Bible Translators. We've been serving in Nigeria for almost 15 years now. But right now, I'm on the shores of Lake Huron. We've just come back from Nigeria, and we are observing the mandatory 14-day quarantine around COVID restrictions. And we've been blessed by 2 weeks at a cottage of some friends of ours. And so we're here. We're enjoying some rest and relaxation with our family, with the kids, and it's been fun to have some good family time together as we enjoy the nice beautiful scenery around us. So we've actually been serving in Nigeria for the past 15 years, but our last term we left in 2017. And so this is our first time back after 4.5 years. So we're taking just a couple months to recuperate a little bit before we go back to Nigeria in August. And then We'll be there for another year before our oldest son, Stephen, graduates from high school. And then probably we'll be back here in Ontario to help him get settled into school. And then actually that'll be a proper furlough where we do some moving around to the different churches and supporters to visit them. And hopefully we can make it out to BC at that point and see you guys as well. It's been a long time. I think not even sure if we made it back in 2016 or not, but we do appreciate your faithful support over the years. And even though we haven't been able to meet face to face, you guys have been a blessing to us. So the pastor has asked me just to maybe share a little bit about one of my favorite Bible verses, something that's meant something to me over the years. So I guess for me, the first one that popped into my mind immediately was Romans 12, 1 and 2. Maybe familiar to some of you, maybe not, but, for me, that was one of the memory verses that we had to learn in middle school. And it's always stuck with me. So, it goes like this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to Him. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And for me, I guess, as a young kid, it just kind of stuck in my mind as a significant Bible verse. It gave something to hold on to. For me, it was, I guess I am often drawn to things that tell me how I should act. And so for me, that was something that really showed me that I should be acting in a holy and upright way, that I should be following, you know, God's commands. And I guess it was a challenge to me to offer my very life as a sacrifice to God. Not just living by the rules, but living so that my life would be a sacrifice to God. And as I've grown in this kind of life and in my understanding of the Bible, I have always appreciated the second verse too, which asks us not to conform to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I don't think necessarily that's, you know, what brought me into Bible translation, but I do see a connection there. I see a connection between having the Bible available in our lives and being able to be open to God's transforming power in our lives. You know, the Bible is God's word, and it does speak truth to us, and it speaks life, and it challenges us. With all the conflicting messages around us these days from media and just the ease with which those messages get into our brain, it's often a challenge to conform the way we think and the way we act to the ways that God wants us to act. But that's what Romans 12 verse 2 asks us to do, is to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so that's how I kind of find fulfillment, and I find this verse satisfying as I as we translate the Bible into the Nyingpa language in central Nigeria, allowing those people to be transformed by God's transforming message. So thank you for this opportunity just to speak to you. And by God's grace, we will be able to meet again face to face. And I look forward to seeing all of you. So God bless. Thank you.
Thanks, Jotto. His testimony struck me particularly the part about him becoming, as a middle schooler, hearing Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, the idea of being a living sacrifice. That struck me particularly. So we're going to focus this morning on Romans 12, just verse 1. And I noticed that Jono has a way of seeing his life and the call of Jesus, which to me is something that is less popular and I hear about less frequently these days than I have perhaps in previous decades. Most people want to get ahead, stay safe, and live an enjoyable, nice life. But when that is your primary desire and pursued with all that you have, instead of following Christ with all that you are, the Bible teaches us that there is great loss for that person. For Christ said, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. And this passage that John O. shared from Romans 12 will show us how to have the life and live into the life that Christ has in mind for us. He says we need to turn our back on our own internal ways, the ways of the world. The language of Scripture is die to it and give yourself fully and wholly to Christ's ways so you can live. The idea simply is die to live. And that this is also worship. Today we're going to look at this passage, Romans 12:1. Let me just read it for you. God's word to us today. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So we're going to look at this verse. We're going to see there's three parts to this. The first is in view of God's mercy. We'll look at that first. And then we're going to look at offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, the second. And then we'll end with this is your spiritual act of worship. And if you ever wonder how to live the life of a Christ follower, this verse is the practical how-to. Even Jono spoke about it. He wanted something practical to live out. A living sacrifice, bodies as living sacrifice and worship. And the idea is that with God's help, you take your whole life, you know, the ordinary things of your life, your comings and goings, just the regular ordinary things, and you take your work and your dreams and your career, your assets, your abilities, your pain and your sorrows and your future hopes and your future anxieties, you take all these things about you and you surrender it to God as an offering, as a sacrifice, because he's merciful and he has the best for you. Do this every day. This is worship. That, friends, is the main idea. So let's get into this passage in some detail. We'll begin at the first part. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Now, this word view kind of caught my attention, and I began to ask the question, what is the view of God's mercy? Well, around here we're privileged to live around some mountains. So if you climb up the Abbey Grinding and you look out, what's the view? Well, you see the prairie where the lake once was, and you see Vetter Ridge, and you might see some other mountains. There's a view there. Or if you go to the top of Elk Mountain and you look to the left, you see Selesi. You look ahead of you, you see Mount Baker. And around the corner, you see Cultus Lake. And if it's a clear enough day, you could see Vancouver Island. And to the right, you see small little Chilliwack Mountain, and then Woodside and the Fraser River. And you have a beautiful view of looking down, and it's just breathtaking. But when you look at God's mercy, what is that view like? What does it look like? Paul shows us, and he really is showing us in the chapters prior to chapter 12, verses, or chapter 1 to 11 could be summarized as the view of God's mercy. He's just spent 11 chapters outlining the mercies of God, towards his people. And he calls it a view. And when you look at a view, like the Abbey Grind, and you're up there and you look at it and you come down and say, how was I? Oh, it's great. That's the summary, right? You don't tell the detail of the Vetter Mountain and the valley. You just say, oh, it's amazing. Or if you go up, you know, Sham Mountain, you look down and you come down and you experience that view, and people are like, well, how was that hike? Oh, it's breathtaking. You know, there's different sort of summaries. So let's look at what some of the views are from Romans chapter 1 right through 11. I picked out a few of them. Well, we see God's mercy in Romans 3, verse 22, when he gives us righteousness, even when our mistakes continue to pile up. He gives us his righteousness when our mistakes continue to pile up. We see God's mercy when he declares us both forgiven and innocent through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. That's Romans 3:24. We see a view of God's mercy when our sins are not held against us anymore. That's Romans 4, verse 8. We see a view of God's mercy when he pours love into our hearts. That's Romans 5:5. We see God's mercy when he gives us eternal life to be with him. That's Romans 6:23. We see a view of God's mercy when he frees us from shame and condemnation. Romans 8:1. We have a view of God's mercy when he tells us in Romans 8:31 that he's for us, even though we're sinful and act like we're against him. We see another view of God's mercy in Romans 10:13, when he offers everyone, he receives everyone who calls on him. And we see God's mercy when he offers us his kindness in Romans 11:22. These are some of the things that were written about in Romans 1 to 11. When you read it, you see a picture of God's mercy. It's breathtaking. He's painting. He's making a beautiful thing for us to see. And perhaps the summary of this view, like if you were at Sham, it was like, oh, that was amazing. Perhaps the view of this is that he's a merciful God, and he's for us. He's a merciful God. He's for us. Okay, so this passage says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, he's a merciful God who's for us. It then says this next piece, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Let's go through this with some detail. This is a very odd thing to say, by the way. Okay, let's break it down. When he refers to your body, he's not just referring to your skin and bones and how tall and hair and internal organs, but he's referring to your complete person, your whole being, your whole essence. He says, offer all of you, every part of you, your whole self, as a living sacrifice. Your past, your future dreams, your hopes, your problems, your hurts. Offer your soul as a living sacrifice. The ordinary parts of you, the extraordinary parts of you, offer all of it, all of you, as a living sacrifice. So our bodies mean our whole person. Now, what is a living sacrifice? I'm going to try my best. But what is a sacrifice in general? Well, we think of Jesus right away. Death on the cross is a sacrifice for our sins, a payment for my and your sins. And it's Jesus now who is the final sacrifice. His bloody body and his death, because he's the Son of God in perfection, is able to pay for all of humanity's sin, both past, now, and the accumulation into the future. And we can receive and benefit from this sin as a payment for our own personal sin, not through animal sacrifices anymore, but now through a faith, a trusting that this sacrifice of Jesus is for you. Another word is it's his atonement for our sins and for your sins. And the call is to trust this and have faith, receive his forgiveness. He's merciful. Now, before Jesus, there was the Old Testament sacrifice system. And the idea was is that you bring your animal or grain offering to the temple in Jerusalem as a way to pay for your sins. Scripture lines this out, and you are to follow it. In the Old Testament times, you were to bring an animal or a grain offering or a small dove, and you offer it on the altar, the burning altar, and it would burn, and that would become an atonement for your sins, a payment of sorts, so that you could be right with God. God is a just God. And this was ongoing. There was a schedule you were to follow. You had to travel and do this. And as you can imagine, the altar was very busy. Every day, the altar was at work. At 9 a.m. and at 3 p.m., the shofar would blow on a tall point of the wall in Jerusalem, and that's when the sacrifices, the morning and evening sacrifices. Now, the interesting thing is, when we began the prayer wall at New Life, it was like, okay, when are we going to send a notification out that this is the time to pray? And someone just came up with the idea of 9 a.m., because that was about the time of the morning sacrifice. So we're called to prayer in the morning, so 9 a.m. it is. That's why we send out a notification for a prayer at 9 a.m. I digress. Anyways, so now what is a living sacrifice? We know what happens with animals. They come to the altar. They're killed, and then they're put on the altar and they're burned. Now, remember, the Old Testament sacrifice was different than a living sacrifice, because you brought the animal, it was killed, put on the altar, it was dead, and then it was burned up, and then it was just ashes. Okay, it's a little bit of a gruesome picture for our sensitivities in 2021, but once you made that payment, that animal's life was over. It was done. And the animal could no longer be sacrificed again. It wasn't like it would be like, oh, it's over now, and kind of dust itself off, crawl off the altar and go, oh, that was awkward, and then take off. No, it's dead. It's over. Now, how is that different than a living sacrifice, what you and I are called to? Well, a living sacrifice stays alive. It's living. It stays living. It's a sacrifice, but it's not dead. It stays alive. But after you are sacrificing, you become more alive. Unlike the animal, which is sacrificed once and it's done, a living sacrifice is something that is repeated over and over, which means that sacrificing is never over if you're a living sacrifice. Or as some pastors noted to say, the trouble with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. A living sacrifice, which we are invited to, means that for us, we deliberately and continually offer ourselves to him. It's ongoing. And this act of sacrificing then causes us to live. It's die to live. And sacrifice, we learn right here now, is to mean to surrender. And that to be a living sacrifice is to surrender our whole selves regularly to God. Surrender to the merciful God who is for us. This is worship. You surrender your whole being, everything about you, your whole self, the shame that we carry from the past, the worries about the future, the things we've accumulated that we value so much, the people that we love, the things that we're good at, the things that we're terrible at. We surrender. We surrender it. You hand it over to a merciful God. And at first, when we do this, it feels like a death to surrender. The letting go of ownership of our rights, our desires, our preferences. It feels like death. Actually, it's very frightening to let go of the things that we're so used to being in control of. It's difficult. It's almost counterintuitive to let go and to surrender. But as you do this, and as you trust a merciful God who is for you, you find over the span of your life freedom, and you find yourself sort of a lightness to follow and to worship. A surrender brings a good thing. And we notice right away that to be a living sacrifice means the surrender to live life how we think we need to live it. Life as we choose isn't the way to live. When you belong to God, you are to live His way. You surrender the idea also that you belong to yourself. You don't anymore. You surrender the idea that you know best and you can make up your preferences, your morality. You can make up what you desire, and what's right for you may not be right for others. You surrender that idea because there is a God who's king and we live under His kingship. You surrender the idea that you know best because that's what's in you and you're going to drive and pursue that with your life and what should happen with your life. Actually, what we say is, God, you are a merciful God who is for us. You know best. I trust you. I will follow you. I won't follow me anymore. That is the death that we are called to. That is the life that we are called to live. And you think about Jono, though, the biblical translator, who's taken Hebrew and Greek, moving it into a language of the people of Nigeria. Think about the purpose he has and his desire so that as he has been transformed by God's word, that others will as well. That's his heart's desire. How does a young man in middle school begin a journey in his life to be where Jono is? How does that happen? Well, it began with surrender. And it's an ongoing surrender. It's a life. It's a life of worship. It's a learning to be a living sacrifice. And it doesn't mean, as the cliche says, that you're going to be in the backwoods in some place in Africa. That's Jono's story. Christ's story for you may be different. And I imagine here this morning, many of you have a story because you've surrendered. And you are following Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Surrender really is about acknowledging that God has purchased your life on the cross and your life is no longer yours. He's the owner. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" And it says this, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price." See, the idea that we own ourselves is not true anymore. We've given that up. God purchased us with the sacrifice on the cross. This is spelled out so warmly, but also so frighteningly in Heidelberg Catechism number 1. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I belong body and soul to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I belong to Him. And that's comforting in hardship. But it's absolutely frightening if we want to hold on to our own lives and live like I belong to myself. God is the owner. But the reality is that when we sacrifice and we give up ourselves and we surrender, we are still responsible for how we live out our lives. And how we carry out our responsibilities is in alignment with the owner of our lives. It's saying, I surrender to you, God, and I will do things your way. And I will learn throughout my whole life how to do that each day. It's a process. And I trust you because you're a merciful God. But I take responsibility to live this way. Okay. That is, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Bodies are our whole self. Living means that it's ongoing surrender to God. And we're not owners anymore. We were purchased with the blood of Christ. And we are to surrender and submit our lives to Him on an ongoing basis, and that is worship. Let's look at the last phrase. This is your spiritual act of worship. And I wanted to show you another picture alongside of the view of God's mercy. And it is a picture in the heavenlies. It's painted for us in Revelation chapter 4, and it gives us a visual of what surrender and living sacrifice looks like in worship of our King. We're called to have a spiritual act of worship. So if you imagine the heavenlies, there's a throne. That's where Christ our King is on, ruling. And around that throne is a various amount of things. There's a sea of crystal. There are four living things, but there are also 24 thrones circled around the throne, 24. And on those 24, it says in verse 4 of chapter 4, surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They're facing towards the throne. And then in verse 10, this is what happens. That's the picture, 24 thrones with 24 elders that have crowns of gold on their heads, these elders, and they're dressed in white. They're sitting there. Now, this is the action. The 24 elders fall down before him, that's the Christ, who sits on the throne, and worship him who lives forever and ever. They leave their thrones, they bow down, and then this, they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." And these 24 elders, I don't understand how it all plays out, but somehow they were chosen to have a position where they are sitting on a place of privilege and honor and power, a throne. And they were dressed in beauty of white. And they also had a valuable thing on their head, which represents visually what their position is, a crown. So for them to sit on a throne and to have a crown with a white garment is a symbol of everything they are, their power, their position, what their function is and who they are. Now notice what this picture of worship is, and this is our picture for us today, is that they leave the throne. They kneel down. They leave their place of privilege. They kneel down. They take off their crowns, and they put it before the Christ. And they give all that they have, all their value that they possess, all their position, everything they are as a person, and they worship. That is a living sacrifice. And that is a picture of our spiritual act of worship. Lord Jesus, as you sit on the throne, we are your people called to surrender, for you purchased us with your blood. We desire, as you call us in your word, to be transformed and to worship you and to give our lives to you on a regular basis. Thank you that you are merciful and patient. There's no condemnation and no judgment anymore, and you receive all who call on you. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our King, merciful King, who is for us. Let's stand. Receive God's blessing. People of God, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones. Sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand.
the chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide. Doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can there's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Mike, for sharing that word with us. Thank you, Jono and the Barnhorn family, for sharing with us. I have a question for you, congregation. Do you want our missionaries to feel encouraged? It's an actual question. You can answer that. That's good. Do you want them to feel loved and supported by this church? And do you want them to know that we encourage them in everything that we do? Okay, so the easy way for you to do that is to hop on our website or click on through the encourager, and there's a way for you to actually sign a letter to each one of our missionaries to say, we love you, we support you, we encourage you. Thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for blessing us through Scripture. So we want to encourage you to do that. This is the last week that you can do it before we send it off to all these missionaries to encourage them and to build them up. That's what we'd love for you. That's our focus for July. That's our serve focus. And we want to let you know about our August serve focus. In August, what we're going to do is we're going to take this community of Delaware and make it our heart's focus, to pray over it, to ask God to bless it. And the main focus that we're going to be doing is August 9th to the 12th at Delaware Park. We're going to run a summer superheroes sports in the park days. There it is, park days, beautiful. We've got all kinds of names for it. But what we're going to do is we're going to go through this community, praying over it, handing out invitations to this week, and then spending that whole week just blessing the young kids and families in this community. And we just want to encourage them and bless them for Jesus' name. Do you guys want to encourage our community towards Christ? Yes. Let me ask that again. Do you want to encourage our community towards Jesus? That's better. Yeah, now I'm convinced. The way that you can practically do that is by walking through this neighborhood, praying for the community, helping us when we have the chance for volunteers to hand out invitations door to door, and coming August 9th through the 12th to be just to be there, to be loved, to be a volunteer to serve. So we have all this information coming for you in the near future, but we just want to let you know, have this on your hearts, on your radars. If you are here for that week, we'd love to have you help us serve. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday, and make sure to greet one another, love on each other before you head out. Have an awesome, awesome day.